Hello and welcome to the podcast for Chapter 7, Democracy in Distress, The Violence of Party Politics, 1788 to 1800. This chapter describes the conflict between Hamiltonians and Jeffersonians and explains why the Jeffersonians won. Principles and Pragmatism, Establishing a New Government. George Washington was unanimously elected president in 1789 and gave the new government all the weight of his great reputation. It was assumed that everyone would work together for the common good and that the average voter would trust his quote-unquote betters to manage the political affairs. Conflicting visions, Jefferson and Hamilton. The development of political parties began with the policies endorsed by Alexander Hamilton, the Secretary of Treasury, and opposed by Thomas Jefferson, the Secretary of State in the Washington administration. Hamilton wanted a strong central government, much like the English. Jefferson believed that a new age of liberty was beginning that would make government less necessary. Hamilton hoped to make the United States a strong commercial and industrial power, while Jefferson hoped the United States would remain a nation of small, independent farmers. Hamilton worried that democracy would lead to anarchy. Jefferson trusted the common people. These differences, clear in retrospect, became obvious to the two men most involved only over time, as events forced the federal government to make important decisions. Hamilton's plan for prosperity and security. The greatest problem inherited by the new government was the federal deficit. As Secretary of Treasury, Hamilton had to make provisions for repayment. The central government owed $54 million and the states an additional $25 million. Hamilton put together a financial program that contained two proposals, funding and assumption. He also asked Congress for a national bank and government aid to manufacturing. This section treats these proposals in detail and explains why they attracted so much opposition. Hamilton's Report on Public Credit, 1790, recommended that Congress redeem its debt at face value, even though most of the people holding the certificates of debt had bought them at a discount. James Madison broke with Hamilton on this issue. Madison tried unsuccessfully to have Congress pay less to the present holders of the certificates in order to pay something to the individuals who had been forced by poverty to sell the certificates to speculators. Assumption meant that the federal government would become liable for the state's debt. Some states, such as Virginia, had already paid off their debt and would gain nothing from assumption. Some speculators opposed assumption because they used depreciated state debt certificates for their own profit. Madison organized the anti-Hamilton forces and defeated assumption in the House of Representatives. Hamilton salvaged the program by giving Virginia some money and by agreeing to locate the new U.S. capital on the Potomac River. Interpreting the Constitution, the bank controversy. Hamilton also proposed that Congress charter a national bank. The bank, though privately owned, would work closely with the government. Madison believed that the bank would benefit only the rich. Jefferson did not think that the Constitution gave Congress the power to charter a private business. When Congress did charter the bank, Washington asked his cabinet to advise him on the constitutional question. Hamilton's response was to interpret the Constitution broadly as giving Congress implied powers. Washington accepted this argument, but public opinion began to turn against Hamilton. The setback for Hamilton. Hamilton next asked Congress to enact a program favorable to manufacturing, but opposition had grown and organized. Madison raised the prospect of having a central government become more powerful than the individual state governments. Jefferson warned that the rise of cities would destroy agriculture and the civic virtue that farming instilled. Hamilton's recommendations were defeated. Charges of treason, the battle over foreign affairs. Foreign affairs engendered a different set of problems. The United States had to respond to wars set off in Europe by the French Revolution, but Hamilton and Jefferson disagreed on the proper course of action. This section describes how foreign affairs divided Americans into two parties. Republicans stood for states' rights, strict interpretation of the Constitution, and friendship with France. Federalists stood for a strong central government or national government, central economic planning, social order, and friendship with England. The peril of neutrality. Americans wanted to remain neutral when France and England went to war in 1793, but both sides made that difficult. The French sent to America diplomat Edmund Gent, who insulted the Washington administration. The English created more serious problems. England still occupied American soil in the Northwest and violated maritime rights. Jefferson wanted to punish England for cutting off trade, but Hamilton felt that the United States must appease England because the mother country was so strong. Jay's Treaty sparks domestic unrest. England's provocations called for a strong action. Washington sent John Jay to England to demand removal of the English from American soil, payment for ships illegally seized, better commercial relations, and acceptance of the United States as a neutral nation. Jay, however, had no chance to secure a favorable treaty because Hamilton had secretly informed the English government that the United States would compromise. Jay agreed to a treaty that gave the United States virtually nothing. Washington disliked the proposed treaty, but sent it to the Senate, where it was ratified by the smallest possible margin. When newspapers learned of the contents of the treaty, they viciously attacked it and even criticized Washington. In attacking Washington, the opposition had gone too far. The nation rallied behind its greatest man, and the Federalists used this opportunity to portray the Republicans as traitors. The rift between the parties deepened. Pushing Native Americans aside. Ironically, the unpopular Jay's Treaty brought advantages to the United States in the West. English posts in the Northwest Territories had supplied and encouraged Indian raids on American settlements. The U.S. Army failed to defeat the Indians until the Battle of Fallen Timbers in 1794, which led to the Treaty of Greenville, an Indian removal from what now is Ohio. While the Indians were in this desperate condition, the English deserted them and pulled back into Canada. In the Southwest, news of Jay's treaty was interpreted by the Spanish as an Anglo-American alliance against Spain. To prevent this, the Spanish suddenly offered to open the Mississippi, to settle the disputed border between Spanish Florida and the United States, and to cease supplying the Indians. These offers resulted in the Treaty of San Lorenzo, or Pinckney's Treaty. Popular political culture. This section explains the vehemence of early political conflict, especially when newspapers brought politics into everyday conversation. Informing the public, news and politics. Newspapers were the most influential medium of political controversy. Newspapers, usually shrill in tone and totally partisan, sprung up everywhere. Political clubs also became popular, especially Democratic clubs. clubs that supported the Republican Party. The Whiskey Rebellion, charges of Republican conspiracy. In 1794, a local tax protest in western Pennsylvania was interpreted by the Federalists as a major insurrection instigated by Republicans. Jefferson, on the other hand, believed that the crisis had been invented by the Federalists as a pretext to create a strong army to intimidate Republicans. Washington's farewell. In 1796, Washington announced his decision to retire from public life, warning Americans in his farewell address to avoid forging permanent foreign alliances and to avoid formal political parties. But the timing of Washington's statement was itself a partisan act because it gave the Republicans no time to organize a presidential campaign in 1796. The Adams presidency. During the John Adams administration, the Federalist Party controlled the government and tried to suppress the Republican Party. The Federalists failed because they could not remain united. This section deals with the oppressive acts passed by the Federalists and emphasizes the role John Adams played in frustrating Hamilton's plans. The XYZ Affair and Domestic Politics. Because of Jay's Treaty, France began to treat the United States as an unfriendly nation. French vessels even fired on American ships in the Atlantic, known as the Quasi-War. When Adams sent ambassadors to France, the French government demanded a bribe before negotiations could even begin, known as the XYZ Affair. Americans were outraged, and Federalists attempted to use anti-French settlements to crush the Republicans. Crushing political dissent. The extreme Federalists began to build up the army, even though there was no protest of a French prospect of a French invasion. The Federalists intended to use the army to stifle international opposition. Hamilton took day-to-day command of the army and filled it with officers loyal to him. All Hamilton needed was a declaration of war against France, but Adams refused to ask for one. Silencing political opposition, the Alien Sedition Acts. Congress could not declare war, but it did pass a series of acts designed to persecute the Republicans. The Alien Enemies Act and the Alien Act gave the president power to expel any foreigners. The Naturalization Act required immigrants to reside in the United States for 14 years before becoming eligible for citizenship. The last act, the Sedition Act, made it a crime to criticize the government. Federal courts became politicized and often enforced this law in absurd ways. Republicans were convinced that free government was on the brink of extinction. Kentucky and Virginia Resolutions. Jefferson and Madison responded to the Alien and Sedition Acts with the Virginia and Kentucky Resolutions, 1798. The Kentucky Resolutions, written by Jefferson and passed by the state of Kentucky, claimed that each state had the power to decide whether acts of Congress were constitutional and, if not, to nullify them. Madison's Virginia Resolution urged the states to protect their citizens but did not assert a state's right to nullify federal law. Jefferson and Madison were less interested at this time in forming accurate constitutional theory than they were in clarifying the differences between Republicans and Federalists. Adams' Finest Hour. In 1799, Adams openly broke with Hamilton. The president sent another delegation to negotiate with France, and this delegation worked out an amicable settlement. The war hysteria against France vanished, and the American people began to regard Hamilton's army as a useless expense. In avoiding war with France, Adams saved the nation from the schemes of the High Federalists. In return, they made sure that he lost the election of 1800. The Peaceful Revolution, the election of 1800. The Federalists lost the election of 1800 because they were internally divided and generally unpopular. The Republicans won easily, and the new president, Thomas Jefferson, tried to unite the nation by stressing in his inaugural address the Republican values shared by members of each party. The election of 1800 is one of the most important in our history because the transfer of power from Federalist to Republican was achieved peacefully, but the nation had come dangerously close to suffering the chaos of an ideological civil war. Well, once again, that is the podcast for Chapter 7. As always, if there's any specific questions or comments, I'd be more than happy to hear from you. Please make a comment on my website, or you can email me at dshocket@washoe.k12.nb.us. And until next time, we'll cast you later.